Republican Jack Flanagan has served in a number of elected offices, most notably as state House Majority Leader, but he says he's most at home digging into public policy. He's now running for Congress in New Hampshire's 2nd Congressional District, and Representative Flanagan joins me now to talk about his campaign and some of the policies he'd pursue if elected. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Well, thank you very much, Brady. I'm glad to be here.
What convinced you to make a run for Congress this year?
Well, I had done the local thing, school board chairman, cooperative vice chairman, SAU chairman, board of selectmen, finance committee. I got convinced to run for the House, and I'm in my third term, and I was driving home from Concord, and it dawned on me, I really enjoy the legislative process. And one of the things that I did learn is that you can affect people's lives positively. And that's a over and above, you know, constituent work. I mean, I had a woman in my town, single mom. She got notice that her house was being foreclosed on 2 days after Christmas, December 27th. So I made a few calls, and it didn't stop the foreclosure because she had stopped payment on the mortgage. But it gave her till February to get her, you know, her affairs in order. And, you know, that's sort of what it comes about is I think this is sort of the next step for me. And God only knows there's plenty of opportunities down there to try to fix things.
A couple of questions on this idea of effectiveness, which you've made as the rationale for this
yes,
campaign.
Absolutely.
You've pointed to the incumbent Democrat, Annie Custer,
yes,
and said she's passed one bill in Congress.
One piece of legislation, which is really her job, right? I mean, other than constituent services, which we all do. The other thing I think that concerned me about Mrs. Custer is that, I mean, I hate to say partisan, but I mean, if you look at my record in Concord, for example, I get along great with Democrats. We don't always agree, but we're very civil. I'm approachable. I've co-sponsored a number of bills, the prescription drug monitoring program. It was either going to be myself or Peter Schmidt out of Dover, I think, and Peter put his name on first, but I was more than happy to put my name on at second. I think that we can lend something and get things done a little bit easier than, say, Mrs. Custer. And here's another example, the gas pipeline. I've been against the Kinder Morgan pipeline since February of 2015. She was sort of late to the party. She came in December, and now all of a sudden she's, you know, putting legislation through to have like an ombudsman to help the citizens. That's great. But even if you have somebody advocating for us, all the federal government has to do is say, well, there's a need. And by the way, there's no definition of what need is and no definition of what convenient is. This is what I mean by effectiveness. I'm well respected, I think, in Concord, well enough that I was nominated and appointed majority leader. I think we got a lot of things done statewide. We went from an $8 million rainy day fund to $80 million. We balanced our budgets. We made it easier for companies to stay in the state. We made some changes to Common Core testing. We cut down the number of tests. And at the secondary level, 11th grade, we enacted the SATs instead of the Smarter Balanced Assessment, which President Obama, a month and a half later, came out and said, if you wanted to do it this way, you could. But we had already done it, you know, earlier in the year. So, I mean, I think we did a lot of good things. And that's even with the conflict that we had down the street and North Main Street.
There's a significant number of Republicans saying it's better to stand on our principles than it is to compromise and potentially water down those principles. And I wonder what you make of that argument, that the party needs to be more focused on those core principles, even if it's at the expense of perhaps making
sure
a deal.
Well, I mean, we do have core principles, smaller government, more efficient government, less regulations, more local control, meaning the state. But sometimes you have to get a quarter of a loaf or a half a loaf before you get the whole loaf. You don't always get everything you want. When the freshmen come in, I said, do you want to be right or you want to be effective?
You've mentioned making changes to the tax code as a way to help close the budget deficit and try to deal with the debt. What about spending? Do you see any particular places there that you would change?
Well, it's funny you bring that up because even in Concord, I had an incentive for employees to find cost savings in our budget. Someone said to me, Jack, you worry about the pennies and the nickels. And I said, yeah, but if you worry about the pennies and nickels, the dimes and dollars take care of themselves. I'm not a big wasteful spender. I'm not a big spender. If we need to spend something, then we do it. I mean, that's what government is about, right? I mean, is that we're providing services for the public good. Almost a legislative philosophy is, does it make sense? Can we afford it? Are there unintended consequences? Is it constitutional? Not necessarily in those orders, but you know, that's the way I look at legislation. That's the way I look at spending. You know, talk about waste, too. You know, there's a lot of regulations that each one of these agencies are putting out. In Concord, we have what they call JLCAR, Joint Legislative Committee on Agency Rules. The agency has to come in front of this Joint Legislative Committee, senators and representatives, and say why they want to change these rules. They don't have that in Washington, D.C., but I would advocate for that at that level because regulations are another thing that are hurting our businesses. There's a record low number of small businesses. I think we're like 46th in the world. A country like the United States, who pride themselves on entrepreneurship, we're not creating businesses anymore. Part of it is the regulatory environment that we're in.
On foreign policy, you've said the U.S. needs to have a presence in the Middle East
yes.
to help stabilize the region, mm-hmm. perhaps in Syria, and perhaps a military presence. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these circumstances change moment to moment.
They
but
do.
Right now, what would you envision that presence looking like, and to what end?
Syrians don't really want to leave Syria. They just want a safe place in their country. And I think it would behoove us, instead of bringing all these people into our country where we can't vet them, send in the Marines into Syria and say, this is the line. And then we send the Army Corps of Engineers and build buildings, places for them to stay and sleep or whatever, and establish their own territory. It might be better off for everyone. I mean, we do have allies in the Middle East. You know, Jordan is one, Saudi Arabia is another, obviously Israel. So having a presence there, which is close by, being able to scramble jets and things like that, wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing.
What about on social issues? Where would you describe yourself on things like abortion, same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. and how does that relate to the Second District, would you say?
As you're probably aware, the Second District leans left. And on the abortion issue, I think the courts have already decided. But I have taken positions, like, for example, late-term abortions, other than the life of the mother, rape and incest. And I believe there was another bill that passed that I supported that said a minor could not get an abortion without parental consent or going in front of a judge. And the judge actually had to give a recommendation, I believe, within 2 days to proceed. With limitations, I would say I'd be pro-choice. I'm a traditional marriage person. I think it's 3,000 years and ticking. However, I don't think someone just wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'll be gay today.
Among your hobbies and activities is motorcycles.
Yeah.
What kind of motorcycles do you ride?
I started in 1973. Shows you how old I was. I still do it too, but not very often because I don't have much time, is I race motocross, dirt bikes. Last year I had a little accident, like breaking 5 ribs, but it's been something that gets into you and you know, for me, it's a form of exercise. It's a distraction. I do like golf too, by the way, but it keeps me a little young, keeps me in shape. It keeps me out of trouble.
Well, Jack Flanagan, thanks so much for talking with me today. Well,
thank you very much for having me. And anytime, I'll be more than happy to come back.
That's State Representative Jack Flanagan of Brookline, a Republican running for Congress in New Hampshire's 2nd District. You'll find more of my conversations with New Hampshire's 2016 candidates at nhpr.org.